Good morning, everybody, and a very warm welcome to episode number 74. The date is the 18th of March 2024, and today we're going to be talking about a fabulous event over in Birmingham that we just about come from, and it's all been very, very exciting. My name is Aaron Patrick, as always, and with me is my co-host, Johan Gori. Johan, tell the world, how are you feeling? Are you recovered yet? How's the vocals? Yeah. How's the feet?
Good morning.
How's it all going?
The feet are good. The vocals have recovered, as per usual, thanks to my friends at Vocal Zone. Not a sponsor.
Yet.
Yet. But yeah, if anyone's doing any speaking, singing, talking all day at a conference or anything, Vocal Zones are the way forwards. So I am very good. Pumped up, ready for the week. I've got quite a light week on the old diary front this week, so I've got lots of stuff I want to get done with my team and ideas to implement and stuff like that. But, of course, what better way to start a busy, energetic week than with Ask the Accountant, our weekly episode. So, yeah, looking forward to this.
Very much looking forward to it. And I'm obviously the most important members of Ask the Accountant are the people, are the community. And we got some people joining live today. We've got Cheryl. Good morning, Cheryl. We've got Paul. Good morning, Paul. Susanna's there as well. And Dave is there. So great to see you all. And I can see more of you popping in, including on our Instagram feed as well. So that's great to see. Now, apologies that we're a little bit, you know, that from my point of view, I look like I'm in a prison. But, you know, that's the office for you.
Things went wrong in Birmingham. Yeah, we got special permission for him to broadcast.
Yeah, NDAs were broken. No. But yes, we're here for an exciting episode. Obviously, we're going to be covering the fabulous event that was FAB. We're going to enjoy that and going to have a deep dive into there. And then we've got some other very exciting news coming from some releases that came directly from FAB. That's going to be exciting. We've got goodbye to a particular piece of software, but I'm not sure it's going to be upset to say goodbye. I've got a few other bits we're going to go through. Right. Okay. So let's talk about FAB, the Festival of Accounting and Bookkeeping. And I think the fact that it even says bookkeeping in had a lot of people excited. A lot of our comments when we're doing our podcast and everything else during the event was about the fact that it said even the word was bookkeeping was in there. Was great to see. So Festival of Accounting and Booking, we all went down to Birmingham. In fact, saying good morning to some other people here, we've got Kirsty and Natasha and Libby. All three of them were actually at the event as well, so it's great to see them in person. And then we've got a LinkedIn user as well. Beautiful Bank Holiday. I wonder if that's, could that be Clive?
Clive, nursing a hangover from St. Paddy's Day.
St. Paddy, or some, as some people say, St. Aaron Patrick's Day. That's what some people refer it to. So, yeah. Not many, but a few. So Festival of Accounting Bookkeeping. I think let's start at the very beginning, Jan. Let's start about how we got there or how easy it was. So you were one of the ones who came probably one of the furthest away. Edinburgh to Birmingham is not an easy or quick little joint down the road, but how was it for you? What was it like to get to the venue? Let's start from there.
I have to be open and fair and honest. It was absolutely fantastic. It was a direct train from Edinburgh to Birmingham International. So 4 hours, 40 minutes on a Avanti West train, which isn't an all... The only downside to the Birmingham location is it requires me to go on the West Coast Railway, which just still doesn't have a great mobile signal, which still means I get very little work done that is internet dependent. So, still not ideal versus the East Coast, which has got fantastic 4G pretty much, I'd say 90% of the way between Edinburgh and London. I had a very easy jolly down, and then I got off the train and you follow the signs for the NEC and then you follow the signs for FAB, and about 15 minutes and 20,000 steps later, you were there. Although I did upset the security guards when my bags went through the metal detectors. I triggered a lot of alarms. Like, what was that? 1, 2, 3. I think I had 4 bags with me, all needed searching because they all had electronics in them. Other than that, no, I couldn't fault the location. I thought it was really nice, really central. plenty of hotels around it, plenty of restaurants and stuff around it. So, yeah, no, I was very happy with it. What about yourself? How was your trip from Derby?
I mean, yeah, literally down the road. So I have one road to go down and I am at the NEC. It's a pretty long road. It's 40-odd minutes, 50 with traffic. But no one can complain at that, can they? I mean, that's it doesn't get more straightforward to get to an event space than that is. I thought it was interesting as a exhibitor. We're still very, very raw at this exhibit in Milan, right? Like, we're still figuring out like what this means or what everything else. And this is the first time we've been an exhibitor where I've had to try and figure out how to get a car near enough to the event to be able to unload.
It was a learning experience.
It was a very big learning experience, yeah. But hats off to the, I mean, they do it day in, day out, right? That's what the NEC is all about. But hats off to them, really straightforward. FAB team were always on board with kind of giving advice on how to do this, how to do that. So super, super straightforward. And I genuinely loved the location. I thought the location itself, it was just a breath of fresh air, wasn't it? Like, we're going to talk about it towards the end of the section, but it definitely has to, you know, going forward, all events now, they need to justify their experience, right? Their existence, yeah? So they've got to have some sort of unique identifier or something that brings and lures people over. And I think the location for FAB is one of the factors. It's not the only factor, but I think it is one of those real key factors, isn't it?
It's interesting. As you well know, sir, my geography is and my sense of direction and location is not good at the best of times. So when we go, like, when we now go to, like, the London XL Arena, I do feel like I know the area now. I know what trains to get, give or take. I know the area for going out for lunches and dinners and hotels. I know where it all is. But that's taken years to get to that point.
Agreed.
Whereas from the evening of, like, from the Tuesday night when we got there, I felt like I knew where I was going and what, like, I was confident coming and going without any supervision, which isn't always the case. Like I couldn't, if I had to go to and get us to Daz this year without any instructions and direction, I couldn't get you there. Whereas in my head, I can get you to the XL, and which it took a few years to get to that point in confidence.
Yeah.
But I could easily do that at Birmingham straight away now.
Yeah. So that's one event, right?
Yeah. So yeah, it's, I thought it was a great location. And I think putting it in Birmingham led to a very different audience. No, you and I said several times, and so did a lot of other people, actually. Like, the exhibitors, we're there at all of these events for the main part, and we recognise people's faces. Like, we might not know people's names, but we recognise the audience and go, yeah, these are the people that normally attend these events. Normally recognise 80% of the audience. However, we reckon we recognise, what, 20% at a good, on a push?
Exactly.
Of the audience, there were so many new faces and new people. It was fantastic. Now, is that because they used the word bookkeeping in there? Maybe. Or is it because of location? I don't know. But yeah, FAB came off to me like a very community-focused, relaxed, and chilled-out event. Go to a Countex, it's incredible. It'll blow your mind. 10,000 people over 2 days. There's just so much to do and see. It's out of this world. I absolutely love it. Daz is very dark, flashy lights, loud, and then a nightclub afterwards. It's not really my scene. Whereas FAB was very chilled throughout the day. Plenty of areas to go and chill out and just give your senses a break from everything. And even the after party was a lot more chilled, shall we say. Mm. So
yeah,
they had a great band and they had a lovely evening in the venue, but it was around the center stage. And then there was everywhere you looked, there was people, just small groups of people chatting and having a conversation, which, like, you can't have that conversation unless you stood outside at Daz. You can't have that conversation at the Fox unless you've stood outside. And even then, it's hard to hear each other. Whereas there were some really quality conversations happening at inside the event because of the way they'd organized it.
And the other downside, and it's not, there's no real solution for this, but the other downside with Countex is that everyone's split into different groups, aren't they? You've got after party A, after party B, after party C, after party D.
I just thought it was a fantastic event and very community minded.
Yeah.
Which, like, I think I spoke to more people, not just a quick hi, but a proper conversation with more people at that event than I have at any event so far. Actually, no, that's not fair. Countex Manchester also has that feel.
It does, definitely.
Because it's a one-day event, there's less people that hang around for the after-party part at the end to chat to. So,
yeah, less people, and also that's, like, we sat there wondering, when it first got announced, is a two-day event really right for this? Because it's a really difficult one, isn't it? Like, sometimes you crave that second day. Like, Countex London, there is no chance it can be a one-day event. Like, there's so much going on. Exactly. There's probably arguments that maybe it should be a whole week event, right? Like, please don't take that on board and please don't implement that. But there's arguments for that, right? But when it comes to justification for this, they justified it to the nth degree, in my opinion. Yep. That first day, loads of energy, loads of excitement, buzz. I mean, it helps that we'll talk about it later. There was some announcements that people were talking about all around the show. It helps that, you know, it was a new event and people were mesmerized by it all. It helps that, you know, the location again was bringing people in that probably had never been to an accounting. Well, we know there was a lot of people who had never been to a accounting convention before, right? Yep. So there's all that goes for it for that first day. And that first day was brilliant. And I thoroughly believe they made the right choice to have two, because the second day, well, that was when we could have those even more in-depth talks with them, because it was a little bit quieter, not by much, but it was a little bit quieter, which meant that we could actually go to vendors and have a proper conversation and maybe follow up on something that we just thought about. And it just felt like it justified having those 2 days.
Attended by a mix of people going for the first time out of the 2 days. That was their day. And then a group of people that have done both days. I thought, yeah. And there was a lot of people that were there from the start of day one to right to the end of day two, which, again, you don't always see.
Yeah. I mean, we've been there, haven't we, towards the end of, say, day two of an event, and it's a ghost town, and it's like people trying to justify, do they just pack up now and go, or do they just stay just in case? At this one, we went right to the very deadline, then some. And in fact, when I was leaving, I was literally having to be escorted out because I was the only person not wearing a high res coat that meant that I was, you know, technically I was, you know, against health and safety and all that chat. So it just shows like how much we made the most of those 2 days. And I think one of the other things about Fab that really needs to be said is just how accessible and inclusive it was. It was
incredible.
Brilliant. Yeah. Like, it was light and airy and people had space to go to and quiet areas if they need it and opportunities to, you know, get themselves out of the hustle and bustle if they wanted to.
There were people walking around on Thursday with prams and children.
Yeah, exactly.
We had a friend who, this was their first event and anxiety kicked in. But they felt so safe and secure there that, yes, they went away after day one, but they came back for day two. Whereas most people at these events wouldn't feel like it was something they could try again on the second day because they don't have the open space, the quiet areas, etc. So, yeah, a huge, huge testament to the openness, the space, the accessibility. Like, you know, there's limitations in all venues. Like, go to the XL, yes, you do have to go down the stairs to go to the toilet.
Yes.
There are disabled toilets on the right floor, but the majority of us have to go down the stairs. And it's, you know, a few floors. Not even that was an issue at this venue. Everything was on that floor. Food was in there, everything. I couldn't fault it for accessibility at all.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And I think they tried a few different things as well, which we love to see. And that's what these events are all about, right? Like, yeah. AccountX, they try stuff new on a regular basis, but they need other events to try it themselves as well to figure out if it's right for the community, right? And right for the thing. So some of the things they tried, like, I loved how each of the stages were completely different. Each stage had its own identity, had its own uniqueness.
And it wasn't just rows of chairs.
No.
They were all based around tables, so you could have a community discussion. Like, that table of chairs became a community to discuss what they were listening to and comment with each other. You can't do that easily when you're in an auditorium. You've got the person to one side, the person to one side, and that's it. Whereas this was like, no, there's five or six chairs around a table, so you can have that conversation while someone's speaking. And I just loved that. I thought it was great.
Yeah, and we heard that there was attempts by some of the speakers to really use that, right? Like, have breakout sessions within the talk, you know, and things like that. I don't think it worked as intended, only because in most of those situations, they were standing room only and it was...
oversubscribed.
Yeah, oversubscribed, exactly. But the fact that it gives the speakers a potentially a new tool to play with or a new way of interacting with their audience, that's cool, right? That's something we're constantly looking for evolution. We're constantly looking for ways in which we can change it. And I think that's one of it. I thought that their idea of having those debate sessions were pretty cool. Again, I think that was oversubscribed each and every one, right? It was in that own little like area, but it really needed its own stage, I suppose, and go through from there. I thought the meet the speakers and all that sort of stuff was a cool idea. I think that was a really cool kind of way of doing it. And I think that was very well looked after as well. Maybe
feel a bit like a Disney character, if I'm honest. Like being like just shaking hands and taking photos. It's like I know what the guy in the Mickey Mouse outfit feels like right now.
I do feel like the only thing that could have been a little bit better on that, and again, it's all learning, isn't it? Just a bit more organization. Maybe, you know, there was a table or something that you could sit behind and they came to you or something. It just felt a bit like, yeah, like Comic-Con and all that. But no, listen, it was an amazing event. Like the few kind of things we could pick apart of it, it's just nitpicky, you know, it's definitely that. You know, and 100%, AccountX London is still the go-to. It's the one in everyone's diary and it's the big event of the year. And I don't feel like anyone should try and tackle that. I think that's cemented. Yes, keep it on its toes. Yes, keep like pushing and keep innovating and everything else. But ultimately, I think that's one that's there. And people are going to choose to go to it or they're not going to choose to go to it. I feel like after that, you've got all of your FMS solutions. So you've got QuickBooks, Xero, Sage. They'll have the road chosen again. No one really needs to go against that. They're competing against one another, right? And it's, again, you choose, you go to one or all of them and go from there. And I feel like it leaves you with a space then for something else. And I'm putting AccountX North into that, I'm putting DAZ into that, I'm putting Fab into that. And I feel like each one of them then are now fighting for who comes along to it. And some of them will have their own little groups that are going to be diehard fans for each one, but majority of people are going to have to choose which one. And I do believe that Fab's done more than enough to justify its inclusion on the diary or on calendar, right? Like,
if we're going to remove software vendors like the FMS roadshows and events, because you and I will go to all of the QuickBooks ones because QuickBooks invite us to go and do stuff there, and that's great.
Yeah,
if I was to ignore that, I would literally be going to QuickBooks Get Connected London. I'd then do the QuickBooks Connected in Edinburgh or Glasgow, whichever venue they use.
Yeah.
But the main events I think I would do now, I'd do Fab, I'd do AccountX, and I'd do AccountX Manchester, because that's March, May, September.
Yeah.
I think that's a nice even spread. And I know that I've got a community feel event, I've got a high adrenaline event, I've got a community feel event at the end in September with AccountX North, just to make me feel like, I've had a good season of conferences this year.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. And I think the fact of the matter is that Fab is just, it's for everyone, right? I can't see a type of accountant or accountant out there that wouldn't get benefit from Fab. I had a couple of friends from industry come to that one because it's local, right? So they wouldn't dream of going down to London, or they wouldn't dream of going up to Manchester, but nip into Birmingham just to see what's going on in the world of accountancy and maybe a bit of software that could help their business, you know, their industry business go forward. Makes sense. And I generally can't think of a group that wouldn't feel like they get benefit from it. Whereas, you know, some of the others out there, they're not designed for all types. They're designed for a very particular niche and very particular one. And that it comes down to it, but it sounds daft, but that location is so crucial as well. NEC was perfect, absolute perfect for it. I'm not sure Battersea, even especially when it's not even Battersea, it's just random like park in the middle of somewhere where you gotta go, it doesn't have that same vibe to it. Yeah, it's cool to have its own little area away, but when there's no real hotels or anything else, it's just, you struggle to justify it, don't you, when it comes to which one you've got to go to.
Definitely. Now, we have just spent 21 minutes fanboying about about Fab.
Yeah.
I think we need to move on because we do have other topics.
Yeah.
But if you're not aware from the last 20 minutes, guys, if you didn't go to Fab this year, make sure you book in next year. 14th and 15th of March, NEC again next year. I think early bird tickets are already out.
Yeah.
And if you get an early bird ticket,
is it 14th, 15th? But maybe it is.
15th, 16th, one of the two.
Yeah.
But if you get an early bird ticket from their website now, it automatically gets you your LinkedIn, your VIP ticket. Basically, you get free coffee for the whole day. But that was well appreciated. Definitely, if you've not done this event, the hype on social media is completely genuine and true. The amount of people in our comments here that are going, it was incredible. Like, get yourself booked in for next year, because it's got to be the starting conference of the year now, minus FMS solution options.
Exactly right. Andy says it was the best conference he's ever been to, and that's someone who's really difficult to please as well. So that's
a nightmare to satisfy for a conference.
There's always something he's got to think about. And Kirsty says, agreed, at Fab was easy to get around. The aisles between stands allow people to move and chat. Exactly right. It was brilliant layout. Morning, chaps. Good to see you both at FAB. Good morning, Marcus. It definitely was. And that was it, right? Like, there was opportunity to actually talk to people and thingy people. Absolute love Fab, says Susanna. Really good session and a good atmosphere. It was, good. The sessions were absolutely brilliant. Cheryl says, 14th, 15th. Friday, Saturday. That looks about there. 12th and 13th of March. That looks good to me. 12th and 13th of March. And you can even register there nice and early. And it says, I miss this year. So sad now. I've got it booked in for next year. Definitely do, Christine. It is. It's brilliant. It's, it was a great start to the conference season, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, and don't get us wrong, 4 months ago, we were sceptical of whether we needed this event here at this time and how are they going to be different. But, my God, they did it. They took the most sceptical two people about this event and converted us into fanboys. So, it blew my mind. I absolutely loved it. It has taken me all weekend to recover. But I'm there now. I'm okay. I'm ready to go again. Right, let's move it on then, Aaron.
Nice one. All right, so one of the big talking points at FAB, Bookkeeping, was the launch of a brand new solution from one of our favorite software vendors out there, and it's Apron. So Apron have gone out and released. It's now all official. We spoke about it before, but now it's actually officially out there. It's officially live. You'll know best about the most. Have we 100% confirmed the name of the solution? So Apron Capture is right,
correct.
Not Apron Snap.
I'm still fighting for Snap, because that was Snap was the code name, apparently.
Yeah.
But yes, Apron Capture is live. I say live. It's open for beta testing. They have had over 300 firms try and sign up to the beta testing. So they're going to try and gradually onboard them as quickly as they can. And then we will be going to public release in May, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so it's public beta, wasn't it? It was open, yeah. was released. So far, people are looking at the solution. And in typical Apron style, I think a lot of people are impressed on the usability of it all, which they've nailed since day one, right? That is one thing. If anyone hasn't used the standard Apron solution of the payables feature, please do. Just like there's no cost involved. Just have a look at it and just run through trying to make a payment of either a payroll or of a purchase item, whatever you're going to do, just hook it up and just to see how simple it is. Like this is one of those ones where we always praise Apron. The reason we've been so excited and we love talking about them and when we promote them as much as we do is because they're just so simple to use, right? They take the concept of let's make something easy and they deliver on that. And that's what we expected from the capture and the snap solution, whatever you want to call it. And it seems so far they've delivered it. Is that what you would say, John?
Yeah, I mean, they've done an incredible job. It's the speed of processing is phenomenal. They say on their website, it will process a document in a second. I personally feel that's false advertising because it's normally done in under a second. So it's just phenomenally quick and accurate. Like watching them do it and having played and tested with it for a couple of months now, I am sat there going, why are the others not this quick? Have they got human intervention at the others still? Because I know the Apron solution is completely automated and systemized, like it's all AI and stuff. So, yeah, like it's incredibly quick. Their pricing model is incredibly competitive and scalable. From what like they've shown the alpha testing group their maths basically, and it's completely viable. It's fine. So yeah, it's. It's an incredible tool. And just the ability. So, yeah, you can do it by app. You can do it by email. You can do it by upload on a website. But the WhatsApp bit, that's the game changer. No one else allows you to WhatsApp a document directly into their invoice capturing solution. And that came out of the team themselves using an invoice capturing solution saying it would be so much easier if we could just WhatsApp our expenses in. And they went, well, we'll just build that into our own version then. And I just love that. I also love the fact that last year they came to a group of us and said, guys, we've seen this disruption, shall we say, in the software industry. We think we've got a solution. Do you agree this is a solution? It's like, yes or no. And then they went, right, can you help us refine this solution and test our ideas? Whereas a lot of companies will just go, we've recognized this area, we've built this and done this without any information and info from users. And then they release it and then they wonder why everyone's going, oh, that's nice, but it needs to do this as well. Or why would it work that way when it should work this way in practice? But they've not had any of that because they've had a group of us on board from day one with this idea to help structure and streamline it and direct it in the right direction.
Yeah, and I feel like the WhatsApp bit is huge in terms of adoption and huge in terms of ease of use. But also, for anyone having to move platforms, suddenly you've got this nice PR spin on it. It's like, oh, yeah, we're moving from XYZ we've already used. So, you know, people are going to have that really difficult conversation with their client, however they're going to do it. They're going to have to send a mass email or talk to him, whatever. But if clients are already used to sending it to, you know, blah, 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 at blah, blah, .com, because that's where, you know, that's what they were told to send it to for the last 10 years or whatever the time frame is going to be, then having to make them make a change is always going to be difficult, right?
Yeah.
But if you're, it can spin it to the fact of, oh, we're moving to this new platform, which, yeah, no. But more importantly, forget about emailing in going forward. Just use your WhatsApp. Like that makes that conversation a lot easier, right? And that's something that I'm sure a lot of clients are going to see that as a, oh, well, that's not actually a bad thing. I've got to maybe change my email address around or remember to send it to this new email, whatever. But actually, I'm going to get a much better experience from my end. So yeah, of course I want to move over and move to there. It just makes sense, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just think this is going to be, it's going to be a huge disruptor. Other invoice capturing tools are in trouble here. Like, because none of them offer WhatsApp to start with. Yeah. That's a huge selling point. The pricing is phenomenal. So you get, for every client, so it's £5 per client, up to £200 a month. And then it's 500 clients on like book stop for £200. You get 500 documents per client on a fair usage policy. That puts it at a penny a document.
Yeah.
No one else goes anywhere close to that.
Yeah, exactly. And I still feel like some of the solutions offer enough of a USP where you may keep their subscription around for a little bit, or at least, you know, maybe top up their credits for a bit, because, you know, statement extraction or bank statement extraction, they, you know, maybe you keep the others around for that sort of thing. But when it comes to choosing what's right for your clients and what's best to send stuff to them for them to interact with, it becomes a bit of a no-brainer, doesn't it, as which one's right.
Yeah, definitely. No, I'm excited. Like, the fact that in the space of 24 hours, they had over 300 firms trying to sign up to the beta.
Yeah,
exactly. Tells you how much this is needed.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think, like, their justification of it, because, you know, there was a little bit of chatter from one of their competitors about how they, you know, they pride themselves of staying in their lane and all this, that and the other. And they have this whole big spiel about how that they're just committed to ensuring that they provide the best, you know, extraction tool around, blah, 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 right? And yeah, fair enough. They can have that conversation and they can have that chat and everything else. But A, this area needs a disruptor because it's become, you know, it was being dominated by players that had, you know, didn't always have the best interest. Let's be 100% honest here, right?
Yeah, they were too busy lining investors' pockets.
Yeah. So, you know, they were dominated by their... We've seen other solutions come and go who have tried to be in this space and been, you know, not even though sometimes they had a better product, weren't able to have that ability to be able to you know, get into the market. And I think more than anything else, the reason that these guys justify it, and the reason that I would say that Apron are right to be there, is because they're enhancing their otherwise amazing product. Like, the only thing that was letting down their product at the moment, the only bit where they had problems being able to provide the solution they were providing, was when one of the other solutions hadn't extracted the data properly. And that was the only time that Apron ever fell down, is when they were relying on someone else to extract the original data. And that data was poor, right? Now they get to own it from A to B. They get the opportunity to bring it all in. Let's be honest, like, it just makes sense. And it means that they can make it work straight away. So I don't know. I feel like it's a win-win for everyone. A bad product. Seems like a bad price point.
Yeah.
What's not to love about it?
Now, Paul has said, according to their plans, Essential and Pro for accountants includes Capture. Now, just to clarify here, Paul, if you're using Apron for your clients' payments, so at the moment, Apron is going in, pulling out documents from QuickBooks or Xero, and you can make payments against them using a bulk payment tool in Apron, which is their core product. You will then have Capture free of charge. If your clients aren't paying to use the payments tool, you will need to pay for Capture. And then Apron's hope is that by us having better visibility of all this document data, we'll be able to identify clients that can go from Capture onto payment tools So it's not, it's only free if that client is already paying a monthly subscription for the payments processing part of the tool that's already live and been live for over a year now.
Yeah. And again, that means that they actually own that whole journey, right? So it becomes the best way of being able to make payments to your suppliers for a client, because it literally is a take a snap, it's processed within seconds, then you make the payment.
Milliseconds.
We're going to have to do a, we'll have to do like a Formula One like thing where we do pit stop. Stop clock.
Didn't you do something like that for as a video a while ago for all the other? Oh, you have to redo that video now. I don't know if your stop clock goes into the milliseconds. You'll need an F1 style timer.
Yeah, exactly. Just quickly going back to the chat. So Dave's booked already. Victoria says, morning. Good morning, Victoria. I hope you're doing well. And Catherine says, got my onboarding call with Catch today. I'm hoping for great things, sensible pricing too. Exactly, Catherine. I think we're all really, really excited for it. And I know, you know, we just know that the product is going to get better over time as well, right? We know it's not going to sit there.
You know, I already know what's on their plans. And it's brilliant. So
exactly. So and when the product kind of launches this strong with this many kind of features and this stability, it can only get better from there, can't it? So
definitely.
And Helen's as well, she's got her onboarding booked as well. So I think that says it all, right? Like the community's excited. We need to see what we're all excited to go and have a look at it, see what it's like, and effectively roll it out. And it'll be nice to have a solution that we can have faith in and build on, right? And then kind of go back to there. Because I feel at the moment there's a bit, people are kind of jumping between. There's a bit of uncertainty about it all at the moment and which is right for them and everything else. It'd be just nice to have a platform that we can all trust and go through from there. All right. So that was the good news that came out of Fab.
Even better news. Or more fun news.
I'm not sure we can say that, Jan.
Yeah, we can. We're QuickBooks fans. We can gloat on this. We can take great joy out of this. Let's face it, it took us half an hour to stop laughing when we heard it.
So the other news was, and I don't think they publicized
it. Two Greens just entered the comments.
Yeah, good timing here. So good timing. It's safe to say that Xero didn't want to talk about it much at the FAB for some reason. I tried to talk to a couple of them about it. They didn't want to talk about it. Not sure why. I was wearing a shirt at the time that said QuickBooks is better than Xero. So I wonder if that had anything to do with it. So I don't know. Maybe that was
Thought you went in with a biased opinion.
Step too far. But it turns out that Xero are now sunlighting or getting rid of or removing Xero Go. Now Xero Go was their attempt to go in at the lower market, which was interesting. Yeah, they tried to go for a freemium model. That's what they were aiming for. Basically an entry level to Xero, an opportunity to get those MTD clients when MTD was going to be such a much bigger thing to much bigger people. It was their take on trying to push it through from there. It was one of the only products that I've ever reviewed on my channel that I gave quite a positive review of, to be honest. I thought, actually, other than the pricing model being absolutely bonkers, you know.
Oh, so you want to connect a bank? God, you're extra for that.
Other than the pricing model being absolutely bonkers, I actually thought it was an interesting take. And I thought, actually, if I compared it to what QuickBooks has, which is QuickBooks Self-Employed, you know, keep an eye on the news on that, by the way. We can't say anything more than that. But what QuickBooks Self-Employed is, and I'm still quite a big advocate of what it is now, Xero Go was taking the goodness of QuickBooks Self-Employed, but also keeping all of those good bits that the accountant would want to expect. And it was kind of a hybrid of a really simple to use, really straightforward solution at potentially a good price point, apart from the fact that they messed the pricing up. But ultimately, they had this one product that I could see had a place in the world for accountants to offer to their clients. And now it's no more. Now it's gone.
Zero Go is going, gone.
Yeah. Now, from talking to all the Zero users, no one's surprised about this. Not a single person has gone, oh no, that's going to really affect me in certain ways. Well, doesn't it just show that they completely and utterly messed up the launch of it and messed up the pricing point? I feel like, because I don't know if you ever played with it, Jan, but the product itself was all right. Like it had its good things, right?
No. No. No, it didn't. Like it was just stupid. Like it was so, whatever. I hope someone got sacked for that idea. Like that, whoever came up with this concept was just like, you, like they've never dealt with anyone in the real world. But like, oh, you want a banking connection? No, we charge extra for that. I mean, are they stuck in the 1980s? Do they not realize we deal with banking connections as a primary source of data?
Look, I tried to be diplomatic about this.
Oh, I've given up on that. The only thing I think is a bigger joke than Zero Go going gone is Jax. So, like,
yeah. The thing that I'm confused about here, we had a We Have Cool Friends episode with Ryan. I urge people to kind of look back if you've never seen it before. And it was just after QuickBooks Get Connect in London a year ago where everything got announced for QuickBooks. We had QuickBooks Advanced, we had QuickBooks Practice Manager, we had QuickBooks Practice Bureau. It was just all of these positivity around the future of QuickBooks and look at all this stuff that's coming and everything else. And one thing that Ryan, you know, said from a Zero point of view is that he, you know, never used QuickBooks Advanced. So we didn't know that there's a few flaws here and there, but you know, ultimately what it's aimed at, what it's going for is a really exciting area, right? And he was quite jealous of that. And he's like, based on what we've seen from Zero, they're just not interested in that space. They don't want that higher than, you know, what they're already going for. They don't want the bigger clients. They're comfortable in the client space they've got. They're comfortable with the clients they're looking after. And because of Zero Go, obviously they're now pushing, his words were, now pushing for the smaller market, and they want to push through from there and get down to there. So are we now saying that Zero are not interested in the smaller end, not interested in the larger end? They're just happy what they got. Is that the message we're getting?
That's the message we're getting. But also, like, QuickBooks have just announced Ledgers.
And like, we know that Self-Employed's got some stuff coming as well.
And we know Self-Employed's getting a makeover. Like, QuickBooks is walking all over them. Sage is walking all over them. Free agents starting to challenge them. Like, yeah. It's just... And is it fair to say that they might be struggling slightly, considering they've just slashed all of their pricing on their website for a special offer?
Yeah, it's only for a limited amount of time, though, isn't it? But
yeah, they're trying to compete with the QuickBooks pricing, which
is ludicrous. Like, yeah. What was it? A year at 90% or something? Yeah. Crazy. Like,
but yeah, it's just it. Literally, I just don't see. I think the leadership has had too many changes at Zero and at various different countries. I don't think they really know what they want to try and achieve at this moment in time. All they know is they've got investors breathing down their necks, competition stepping up around them, and they're like, crap, how do we get out of this? Right, let's go for the self-employed market. Oh, no one signed up to that, and why would they with that pricing model? Right, we'll scrap that. Now what, though? Or we're going to release Jax, which they admitted on an interview with Tom Herbert at Accounting Web, was partially powered by some AI they've built and then powered mainly by a language learning model from a third party, instantly potentially gives them a disadvantage compared to Sage and QuickBooks, who seem to be built. Well, we know QuickBooks have built their own. Sage, we believe, is built by them. The moment you start exporting data into a third party language model, that's where security becomes an issue.
Yeah,
so you can't give the same data to that as you would if you had your own internal system. So for that reason alone, the feature parity is unlikely to be there. Not to mention the fact that the video is completely focused on a business owner basically replacing their bookkeeper and accountant with a voice, answering questions that you can't answer because the information that you need to answer those questions wasn't in the product to start with. But hey, what do I know?
Yeah, because I've heard that now it's called Just Task Zero to replace your accountant, and they couldn't figure that as a nice way of putting the the anagram together. So that's why they had to just go for Jax, because Just Ask Zero to replace my accountant was just too long. So yeah, but that's what they're going for. But don't we need the innovation in that space though? Like, it almost seems unfair at the moment. You've got QuickBooks Self-Employed again. There's not many people like myself, but for the people who use it, love it. Like simplicity, straightforwardness. As accountants, we get frustrated because it doesn't have the tools we want and it doesn't give us X, Y, Z, right? Get that. And again, watch this space because there's stuff coming for that area, right? But apart from QuickBooks Self-Employed, and you've got some third party, or I don't mean third party, you've got some of the smaller players in the market that have their own little spin on it, like RIP to them, but what Coconut was, right? Like that's what that was for that area. But we need innovation there, don't we? There's a huge untapped market that really just needs simplicity.
To be fair, as long as there's two, so for the last few years, the QuickBooks development has been driven by the Xero development, and Xero development's been driven by QuickBooks.
Yeah.
Sage have now stepped it up, and I would argue Sage is QuickBooks' biggest competitor in regards to development, and QuickBooks is driving Sage for their development. You know, Intuit Assist comes out, Sage Copilot comes out. Like, they're going to challenge each other going forward, and that's fine. But for Sage has stepped up and now Xero's kind of fallen by the wayside. They either step it up or they're going to be in trouble here. So I think we've still got the innovation in the market. I'm not worried about that. It's just not innovation driven by the same names that were driving it beforehand.
But what I'm trying to say is innovation in that particular segment, because forget me if I'm wrong, and anyone in the chat can tell me if I'm wrong here, but I don't believe Sage have anything for that size. Like, they're not, that's not their market. They don't care about it, but they don't have a solution.
I'm sure Sage have got solutions out there for those sole traders and stuff at a very competitive price.
For that small and that simplicity. Yeah. Because the one, I know Sage One has their kind of bookkeeping solution, but don't go that simple. It's not as simple as, you know, Xero Go and QuickBooks Self-Employed. And, you know, Xero Go going means that maybe it was too
looking to revamp Self-Employed.
Yeah.
And Xero Go's been dropped. Maybe that simple is the problem.
Possibly.
Like maybe they've realized simplicity isn't the key here. Simplicity in a UI to the end user, yes, that's important. But there's still requirements for the more advanced stuff in the background, which Self-Employed and Xero Go just don't have.
But okay, so there is a Sage individual, full pan of free. So it'll be great to know though if that Sage individual really does simplify it. As in, what I'm trying to say is, like,
I understand it. I wasn't sure of the name, but my understanding of Sage individual is it sits alongside Xero Go and Self-Employed.
Okay.
Solution to that market.
At least that leaves at least one other player in the market that can help push it. Because also, that's all we need, right? We just need one other member there to fuel the innovation. We need one of them to go, you know, here's this feature that we probably never even thought of to come in and do X, Y, Z.
I think there will always be that, but I don't think it will come necessarily from the bigger names. So like people like Hammock coming along and disrupting the landlord market. All of a sudden, we've seen free agent QuickBooks, Sage, all jump and go, right, how do we do that? QuickBooks is looking at their own solution. Free agents launched Free Agent for Landlords. Sage went, we'll just partner with Hammock because we can't do what they're doing. They're doing a great job. Let's just talk to them.
Yeah.
Like, I think there will always be innovation there. but it might just not come from your bigger names that you would expect it to come from.
Okay, like, makes sense.
Even Dext tried, didn't they? I mean, they...
Oh, that's what I mean. Like, they... But they were the wrong people to come in to try and innovate it, right? They just came in to try and throw mud at a wall and see what stuck. That's what their philosophy was, right? Let's try and build something. And you've already said it really well, where they built it in their little eco chamber, went to market, and then it got ripped apart, and they got confused of why it was like, yeah, not, it missed the mark so much, but because they built it in their ecosystem, right? Eco chamber. And it just, yeah, I just feel like we've got to make sure that end of the market has enough innovation going forward, because okay, MTD has been pushed back and it's completely changed everything else, but at some point that's going to be a realistic thing, and we need your window cleaners and your, you know, you ones who are just really happy but don't need QuickBooks, Sage, Xero's full-blown solution. They just need something simple, and I feel like there's still a tap market there, isn't there? Which is why we talked about how Coconuts go proposed. Last week we talked about Go Simple Tax and all that lot. Actually, it could be a nice little area for them to play around with.
Yeah, but we also have to remember it's technically untapped. Like but there are solutions there, like Sage Individual, QuickBooks Self-Employed, Hammock, Coconut. They're all there. But to make that work as a business model for the software vendor, you can't charge a lot because the market won't tolerate high pricing.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've got to get the volume of adoption, and no one's getting that really very well at the moment.
No.
Which is if I can't get the volume of adoption, why am I going to develop further in that market where it's a low, even if I do get the adoption, what's my return on investment? Quite low.
Yeah. But is there a chance that the freemium market or freemium model is there, just done differently? Because that was the innovation, right? Like there. And I know that Sage has got their individual freemium element of it. But is there still a place for that? Is that still somewhere that done right?
We've got to offer a freemium model from our core providers like Sage and QuickBooks and Hammock and everyone and FreeAgent and stuff. Because if we don't, the banks will. And we don't get access to the banks. So Starling Bank have got this bookkeeping solution for £7 a month. Or they've got a free version where you can just capture receipts. And it's crap. You can't access it. Tide the same. Like, the banks are going to do their own solutions otherwise. Now, the benefit of FreeAgent is that it's linked to RBS. And that's what they're giving away. And NatWest. So that's great for us and Metal. Because we know whether you like FreeAgent as a user interface or not, we can access that granular data really easily.
Yeah, yeah.
You and can't it can do scale that with Starling, right? And that's why we need these solutions to be available.
Agreed. Wonderful. All right, before we move on, just to go through the final chats that come through, another Xero news is they've got themselves a new integrator fully, haven't they, that's fully gone live. Hasn't Client Engager finally... been let off the shackles and they can finally go live to anyone they want?
Do you want to be careful how you word that finally part, please?
it wasn't down to
the
you.
The delays were not our fault.
Yeah.
So, well, the way Xero works is particularly unique in that anyone that wants an API to Xero now has to be certified by Xero. It's not just an open API anyone can plug into. And you have to pay for the privilege per connection. Or you pay to be in their market space and you give them a percentage of all your sales. We applied for certification months ago, but we are now certified as of last week. It's been hard work compared to like QuickBooks. We just went and plugged in and QuickBooks went, would you like us to check this and have a look for you and give you any advice? Like, oh yeah, please, that would be great. You know, FreeAgent keen to plug in, like it's there, we can just plug in, and you know, Armalytics, Cresco, Xama, no problems at all. Microsoft, not a problem. Gmail had some restrictions on it until they'd certified you. So okay, but it's free. Like, it is technically an open API. Anyone can plug into, there's just limitations.
And it's just a time issue, isn't it?
Yeah. So, as of Friday last week, Client Engager is now linked to Xero and open to all for all to play with. However, the caveat is we had a choice as a business. Do we increase everyone's prices by a pound or two per month to subsidize the Xero users having a Xero link? Or do we just charge a bolt-on for Xero users? So we thought the only fair thing to do was to charge a bolt-on for Xero users. So if Xero users want to plug in Xero to Client Engager, it works out at £4 plus VAT a month for the firm. So it's not a big fee or anything like that, but we are passing it on directly to the Xero users as a matter of principle of, no, no, QuickBooks don't charge, Sage don't charge, Free Agents don't charge, so their users won't be charged. If you or if your software that you're using wants to charge us for the privilege, we're going to be charging you. And that £4 is literally to covers the cost of the monthly fee we get from Xero, the card processing fees, and then the VAT. That's all we're charging. So we're not profiteering from this or anything, but we are standing up and making a, you know, like, no, we're not increasing everyone's fees just because Xero wants to charge us. We'll just directly charge the Xero users, which we think is the fair thing to do.
Oh, without doubt. And I thought it was weird how when you were uncertified, the wording of their error message made it sound like it was your fault.
They're very disappointed. Oh, Client Engager, you've run out of spaces. You need to speak to them. It's like, well, hang on a minute. No.
Gave us five or whatever it was, wasn't it?
No. You need to word this warning that it's your fault. It's your processes that have limited us, not our own choice.
So that's good news. That's a positivity for Xero then. So, yeah, that's good, isn't it? And the, you know, sunlight in Xero go, but they finally let Client Engager come through the doors. So, yeah, that's good. That's innovation at its best from the world of Xero. And apparently there might be some more fonts coming next year as well.
Ooh.
Maybe. Don't put your hopes up too much. All right, then. What other comments have we got? So, Paul says, I have clients who have moved from QBSE to QBO, and many find QBO more challenging for them to use. Exactly. I've even paid for the upgrade for them before, for the extra pound or whatever it was that it cost from one to another. But they've been crying back to go back to QBSE because it's just, yeah, it's just simplicity for them, and that's what they all they need. Especially when personal bank accounts being used, couldn't agree more. Chris has put a nice little link in. We're going to have to check that out ourselves for the self-employed section. Exact Online is my favorite. The starter module is £5 plus VAT. It gives me full functionality, but a simplified dashboard for client. The sad thing is they're not going to be MTD compliant. Yeah, they're, is it? Netherlands, they're based, is it? Exact? Something like that, isn't it?
This is the problem.
They're a European-based product, aren't they?
Yeah. What was the software that was over in the US? Wave. Yes. Every accountant and bookkeeper loved Wave in the UK because it was free.
Oh, it's free.
But then we realized they're not GDPR compliant. Now, I think
they were selling our data.
And then they said, no, we're not going to be MTD compliant. And that is the other problem with freemium models, is especially for if they're from a different country to the UK, and all they've done is cloned what they've got, changed the currency and some terminology, and plumbed it into the UK. That's fine. But the moment UK legislation moves forwards with GDPR or MTD or something, it's not worth the investment from that software company. So they will just drop it.
Yeah. 100%. Penelope also says Hammock is awful. I'm not sure about that one.
Penelope, I disagree with you on that.
Yeah,
for the right clients, I think Hammock is fantastic.
Yeah, but for those clients who don't understand about, you know, the importance of a statement and the money going in and out of the statement to get back to your gross and grossing up and all that jazz that we as accountants we take for granted. Yeah, there's not many other solutions that can actually do that or even do the mortgage right or anything like that.
Not even that. It's when I ring a client, I'm chatting to them. It's like, oh, did you know that property B's now gone up 50K in value in the last year? Like, the fact that I can have that conversation without having to do anything, because that information's just in Hammock. Like, this is what the property is now worth. This is the gain.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I didn't know that. They, Yeah, that conversation point in itself makes me look incredible to my clients.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And I mean, they're ones where they're staying directly in their lane and they've got good. And there's a reason Sage partnered with them, right? Like, that's kind of what's come. Coconut is not great either. And I feel like that's why Coconut ultimately didn't succeed. It was great concept, but just not 100% executed well. And that's why many developers were banking on MTD. It's exactly. And look how many people got burned from that poll. You know, we could talk about that. Exact is MTD VAT compliant, but not MTD. It's and probably because they don't want to get burned, right? Like, that's probably the reason. The fact they've got the MTD VAT. So ability to do journals, maybe. But for me, I just do the journals in the accounting solution. You know, whatever accounting platform I'm using, I just bring it through from there and do it from there. Brilliant. All right. Well, I think that's definitely put the world to rights. We've definitely had a nice little conversation. Again, FAB was fabulous. We loved every moment of it. We're a little bit kind of gutted not to be there, right? Like, there's it's a bit of a sad time, really, that we're not in that conference arena at this point in time. Anything coming out your end?
It's over.
Yeah, I know, right? Anything coming your end that people should be excited about? You did a really good breakdown of FAB, right? I think people should go over and see that if they want even more FOMO.
On my YouTube channel, and I've been asked by a follower to do a video on the cameras I use. So the way we kind of work is Aaron's got the expensive setup that's quite frankly unachievable for the average accountant and bookkeeper to afford. Each camera is a couple of grand each. I've got a much more budget setup, which is more accessible. So I've been asked to do a video on all the different cameras and the different use cases I use them for, so people can then decide which cameras they want to get for themselves. So that video will go live on Saturday as well.
Excellent, excellent. But I do recommend it, though. If you want a bit of FOMO from Fab, then go and watch Johan's little breakdown of it, little kind of behind the scenes. It was cool. It was cool to watch. So yeah, and just relive those moments, and we'll have plenty of content coming out here on Ask the Accountant, including our legendary grid walk, which I'm very excited for this one. It was, 30 odd minutes of unedited raw content. Yep. So you need to expect about a 20-minute video out of that one. So that'll be cool to see and go forward. Brilliant. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. And obviously, we'll be back same place, same time next week. I've got some cracking stuff to talk about, some more feedback coming through from some software launches and stuff. So that'd be good to see. But it would be great to see you all next week. So thanks, everyone. Have a great weekend. Have a great weekend. And we will see you all this time next week. Bye for now.
Goodbye.